This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Nassau Cruise Port, and Popeyes.
The Foundation.
And gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation. Happy New Year! Happy New Year! It's a happy Watchman. Y'all just do too much. It's just too much. Y'all in church talking about Watchman. You need to stop it. And the Watchman this year, I mean, it was very elaborate. He's saying, it's time. And listen, Watchman, you need to calm down. It's a lot. It's a lot we're doing. Guys, it's a beautiful new year, January 2nd, out here in the city of Nassau, wherever you are around the world listening in, tuning in. We thank you so very kindly. January 2nd, right here, Tuesday. It's a beautiful day, guys. Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper as we get started. Now, I always like to do so with a little blessing and anointing. Ah, praise God. We can get into that today, but before we do that, I want to be able to thank the persons that continue to be able to commit themselves. And we got to expand this list. My God. We're moving from glory to glory. Expand our territory. Guys, if you're interested in being able to be a part of what we do here at the Foundation, hit me up, 827-0111. That's 827-0111. We are live and in full effect, chopping that thing down, being able to do what we do. I want to thank all those persons. Definitely, your post-holiday meet. Talk to me, just in the spirit of decency. Your post-holiday, all your goodies and your treats and whatnot. I know you probably get, if you got a bunch of children like me, you ain't got no more turkey to make soup. You know, one time ago, your grandma and them, you had soup. Because you got little things left. Well, no, the neck good. You ain't got that no more. Go down to my good friends at Milo B. Butler and Sons. Milo B. Butler and Milo Butler Mar. They can be able to take care of you. Get all your protein packages. Everything's there. They can take very good care of you. Whether that's turkey, ham, wings, legs, cutlets. I don't know what else. Chitlets. I don't know. I mean, my granddaddy had chitlets. This is a lot. He used to send us out the house. He's like getting boilers now. My God. Ladies and gentlemen, go down there to my good friends at Allen Butler over at Milo B. Butler & Sons. They're right there on Blue Hill Road headed north, just on the right-hand side, just before you get to, I think it's Meadow Street, right? And also, I want to be able to shout out to my good, decent friends over at AFS, Insurance Agents and Brokers, right there on number 407 Blue Hill Road South. They're just east of the Golden Gate Shopping Center. They got everything laid out for you. You just go down there, and if you guys drive a jitney or you drive a taxi, you can definitely be able to get that in-house financing. We know that January has 365 days. Talk to me. This is what it feels like. It feels like 365 days because you ain't getting paid until the end of the month. You was crazy during the Christmas time. Now you eating noodles. You're wilding out. Put some meat with the noodles and enjoy that, right? We're going to have that. Guys, we're going to have a good time and talk about those things. But make sure you go down there to AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They can be able to take good care of you. In-house financing, jitneys for taxis, for all those persons. You can be able to get on the road and you ain't got to worry about a thing. Talk to my good friend, Ethric Bow. He'll take good care of you. 341-1AFS, 341-1AFS. It's a beautiful day, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to be able to make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. All the information's in there. Double victory. Double victory. Saxon wins New Year's parade. My God, somebody hit me outside with a theory. They said, well, you see the Saxons win. Perry and Brave is Valley. So, you know, if the Saxons win, why y'all get so much conspiracy in your mind? It's too heavy. See, the Saxons wins twice, man. You see, Minnesota, they're shaking back. It's too much. That is too much. Guys, but before we do that, make sure, like I said, pick up your free Guardian newspaper. Freedom of Information Office awaits technology and launch pilot project. Information's in there. I want you to be able to read that, see exactly what's what. Man murdered father. My God. 26-year-old took out his 51-year-old father. Read the story. Read the story. You guys got to be able to read this and see exactly what's what. The first murder for the year. We got to be able to pray. And this is why, for me, don't fight me. I don't want you to fight me. I thought it very necessary all the time. This is not the first time I've done this. Every single show that I've done over the past 7-8 years, I've started it off in January with this sort of a prayer. Anytime I do something new, I always want to be able to be christened in the house. We christen the year. This is what this is. And today is no different. But today, more specifically, I wanted to be able to have a conversation that's directed. We're still in the year of our Jubilee. It's 1 year, from July 10th to July 10th. It's 1 year. So we're still in the year of our Jubilee and being able to celebrate what we're celebrating. And we wanted to be able to identify a few things and have good conversations about where we are for the purposes of growth and development and being able to move forward in those areas. And so what I wanted to do is ask one of my very, very, very decent good friends to be able to come here. And you've heard him many times with us before. I want to tell you what we're talking about first, right? I reached out to him and I actually talked about this, and I want to read it for you verbatim so you can see exactly what's what. So I said, I want to, in keeping with the theme of the 50th Jubilee, we want to be able to talk about resolutions, realignment, community, unity, significant emphasis on unity, growth, development, and ultimately progression. We want to be able to talk more specifically about pushing past the embedded pessimism, because that's pessimism that exists in our country, identifying community pillars, remaining steadfast in our convictions, invoking community participation, rallying community pride, incentivizing the disenfranchised, growing from within, talent that lies within the walls of the Bahamas, and then leading from within. It begins at home, and then articulate the vision, execute forward, upward, onward, together. This is the concept that we have. This week, we're going to be talking all this straight through as we lead up to majority rule next week, Wednesday. So we're going to be leading with this kind of a conversation. And next week, Wednesday, we're going to shift it and have a conversation about majority rule. But ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I want to be able to introduce you to none other than my very good friend, Ambassador Devin Roll. My brother, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you as well, Howard. I hope you had a great time over the holidays. And you sound fired up.
I'm a married man, sir. You know this. I'm a married man. There's no way that we can have a good time over the holiday as we continue to see our bank account deplete like this. It's too much, right?
It's too much. Well, Happy New Year, Bahamas. It's good to be back on air again. I hope everybody's doing well. Saddened to hear the crazy report of a father losing his life at the hand of his son.
That's something.
And it's a constant reminder that we ought to continue to be prayerful for our country and to do a little better at being our brother's keeper. So many people are going through a lot of stuff, and conflict resolution seems to still be a challenge in our land. And these topics that you, these sub-points that you've pulled out here, Howard, especially the one that says it begins at home, is something I believe the Bahamas really needs to embrace in this hour. We need to get our homes strengthened. We need to, I am a pastor, so I have to throw this in there. We need to probably bring back home devotions. That'll probably be a good starting point. And something that was a big pet peeve for my mother, I think we need to bring back the family table. Let's start sitting down again at these tables and praying over the food together and eating together and having conversation together. You'd be amazed at the amount of homes listening to me right now, listening to us right now, who do not sit together even to eat. Everybody's in their rooms on their phone, and having their snacks.
You know, I like this, right? I like what you do it. Because you're giving me like practical, real-time solutions.
Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And people may not necessarily feel like this is important because we've gotten into the rhythm of doing our own thing.
Yes, sir.
I see my daughter sneak upstairs with her. I say, hey, where are you going?
Yeah, indeed.
Where are you going sneaking upstairs with her plate? I can't find no spoon in my house. I lie. I lie.
People probably almost pull on the side of the road just now.
I can't find no spoon in my house. Yep. I didn't buy two fresh pack.
Under the bed,
I go
out
in her room to this morning.
Yep.
And spoon all over the place.
Stack, yes.
I said, my God, girl, what you doing? Yeah,
because the bedroom is now the dining room table. We go in our bed to whatever. So in the whole idiom of forward, upward, onward, together, if we can begin to practice that a little bit more at home, then it will ooze into the nation in terms of us being a more connected people. We live in an age of really a whole lot of independence as opposed to interdependence when it comes to our social networking. Everything now, it's always crazy for me to see children in the same space texting or messaging each other.
They right there.
As opposed to speaking.
You could literally touch these people. What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like this though. Yeah. I like this because I wanted to start off on this note. I wanted to talk like this. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be able to participate, but you have to let us get the base out first. Let me be able to put the foundation in place. Remember, we're talking this year, and at some point throughout our broadcast, I'd like you to be able to pray for the nation. I'm here in your particular capacity,
yes, sir.
Right?
Sir.
And being able to do these particular things. This is important. Don't fight me, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't hear the prayer, how about you doing? Cut the radio off. But Howard Grant, we're going to pray today. Amen? I can't get no amen, Jesus. We're going to do this today. So we're talking about this, and I wanted to be able to keep in context with this sort of an idea about resolution and realignment. I think so many persons during this particular time, they take an assessment. They take an account. Now, what I've done is that our lives, in my view, happens to be sort of a microcosm, a snapshot, a small example of how our society runs. Mm-hmm. And so how we make resolutions and be able to resolve to evolve and move in a new direction, I don't believe that is actually applied earnestly in thought, word, and in deed in our society.
Right.
And so I wanted to talk about that more specifically, about resolving to evolve, resolving to realign. Uh-huh. The entire concept of the foundation is being able to get back to the base of where we come from as a nation. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily to digress, not necessarily to be able to move backwards, but understanding that the foundational principles actually took us to a place where we can be. But see, people don't take this into consideration. Yeah. Now, this is one example. You have an uncle right now that was born in the bush. I just want to be very clear.
Yeah.
And the length and breadth of what the midwife did was boil water and pray. I can't even get an amen. That's what she did. The length and breadth of what she did was boil water and pray.
Indeed.
She'd hold on now, and whatever she needed, whatever they needed, could be able to assist in those areas. But the truth of the matter is that because I had a midwife for my babies, the first two.
Yeah.
And all she did, she said, well, how would you know how to pray? I said, yes, my son. I said, yes, my son. I can pray.
We'll stop praying.
But I didn't know how you to pray.
Yeah, that's good.
But when we get back to the foundation, we realize that the existence that we have in here came from nothing.
Yeah.
With the introduction of technology and this sort of an idea of progression and being able to identify your own strength, you have pulled away from the foundation.
Yeah.
Now, this conversation is about realignment. Talk to me about it.
Man, you're talking good already.
Let's get preachy quickly. My God.
Resolve to evolve with the words you used just now. Mm-hmm. One of my pet peeves is I consistently, and not just from a ministerial standpoint, but even in regular engagement people, I continually seek to push people to take introspection of their lives. That's my word. Because I think we have so many people who are just running from one thing to the next without giving thought to why and even how did I get to where I'm at now? There's a motivational speaker, Mike Murdoch. He often says we're so busy mopping up the water that we don't take the time to turn the faucet off.
My God.
In essence, you'll be mopping forever. Look to see where the water's coming from so that this mopping will serve a purpose. And so there are a lot of people right now working on their tightening up their New Year's resolution. My question is, did you take introspection to see what did I accomplish last year? And if I accomplished nothing, why didn't I accomplish those goals? Do I need new goals or do I need to come to a resolve to be more consistent and focused in what I've already set out to do? Do I need an accountability partner? Do I need to literally look at my day and see what are my habits? What's my routine? Because what you do daily is what is producing your future. You don't, as I say too, that we don't determine our success. We choose our habits, and our habits determine our success. I think that's worth repeating. We don't determine our success. We choose our habits, and our habits determine our success. So I need to put into daily practice some things that's going to bring about a better result in my life financially, relationally, spiritually, socially. All of these things need to be looked at very, very thoughtfully so that I can make adjustments. This is how we resolve to evolve and get better results. And it's so important to also know this. Nothing instantly or just happens. Process, planning, these are key ingredients to getting a brighter and better you in the future. Can I say this too? This sometimes sounds really not very exciting to hear, but the truth is concerning what you are experiencing now, there's nothing that you could do immediately to change your now. Your now is as a result of what you did in the past. So you sowed seeds, and now you're receiving a harvest. What you do now is pray for the strength and the wisdom to outlast this time and to make new plans that's going to give you a better trajectory going forward. Mm-hmm. If I don't have any friends in my life, I'm going through difficult times, I don't have any friends, I need to assess how friendly am I? He that will have friends must first prove himself friendly. There's a seed for everything. There's a seed that I need to plant to change my future. It's not just money. As a matter of fact, when scripture uses the term seed, it's usually referring to word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So my that's heavy what you said.
Yeah. According to the biblical perspective of our existence, we began with the thoughts of God being spoken. He spoke, and then it happened. So this whole seed time harvest thing is very, very critical if you're going to have a progression in your life and its development. What are you doing? What are you planting to get a different result for what you want? I don't want to be broke next Christmas. All right, it's January. Why not put in place this year, I'm going to practice delayed gratification. I'm going to set some goals. I'm going to set some things that I want to have in my life. However, I'm not going to be knee-jerk in my reactions to go borrowing money or doing crazy stuff. I'm going to set a plan for how I'm going to strategically set aside money on a monthly basis to get the things that I want.
Sometimes these things sound far-fetched.
Yeah.
The rhythm of what we've been doing for such a long time has become almost like a monkey on our back, almost like a wart, a skin tag.
Right.
It becomes a part of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We have to deliberately pursue something to extract it, to take it off, right? Whether that's surgical or whatnot, it's necessary because this is actually, we've developed this particular thing. So when we hear this concept and idea of delayed gratification, when we hear this idea of over the next 300 days, 330-some days, prepare yourself for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start off good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody start off good.
Mm-hmm.
My God, that first step. If the first step could get you to last, we'd be good. But that first step, a lot of persons, for instance, my kids, my wife buy little piggy banks for the little ones.
It's very good.
Right?
It's very good.
For my little 5-year-old and the little 2-year-old. They're wilding out right now. I keep my wallet on the table, right? My son says, Daddy, I found $100 in my room, right? I'm telling you the truth, right? My little girl, right? I don't know what happens. This is probably the estrogen.
Right.
The estrogen, right? she take my money. She take my money. So now I'm saying, oh, Lord, she could be shoving everything in this bike right now, right? Oh, so I say that to say it starts off good.
Yeah.
Until they hear the ice cream truck.
Yeah.
And whilst we may not necessarily see this relating to our lives, we respond the exact same way.
No, it's important. That's
we respond as adults the exact same way.
Yeah.
That's why these people play commercials relentlessly. You respond the exact same way.
Yeah. Animals survive by instinct. We're supposed to survive by intellect. It's a big difference. And for intellectual decisions to have impact in our lives, we have to practice self-discipline. And it's a job of the parent to teach the child how to practice self-discipline to get desired results. Too often in our modern society, parents seem to be the ones that are the children in the house because they're following the dictates, the desires, and the wants of the child. We need to talk about that to bring about a change in that kind of dichotomy in our homes. The children ought not be leading. The job of the parent is to lead, to establish the boundaries.
This is what you're doing right here.
To establish the boundaries of the home. And also, watch this, because I feel power. Every home is supposed to operate with its own ideology and philosophy. The parents are the ones who are responsible for articulating that. When, for example, people listening to me now, when's the last time you had, a family meeting to discuss the goals of your family? Does your family have goals? Have you ever sat down and articulated, we want to accomplish these things as a family? And for fathers and mothers speaking to their children, having examined the giftings that they see in them, son, this is why I see this in you. I see that in you. Speaking to their spirit and speaking to their future. This is very important.
I love this conversation.
Yes, sir.
I am really enjoying this. I want to talk like this with you. I want to talk about, you said that parents should be able to teach their children. You started to talk about instinct versus intellect.
Mm-hmm.
And then you started to talk about this kind of a dictation by the children.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to ask you this question. Are we, and I say we, the collective we, not necessarily me, because I don't do this. Amen? I just, as a different fellow entirely. Amen?
Indeed.
Is society driven by when you see mothers and fathers or families moving at the whim of what the child desires because of a fear that he or she is going to bust out crying and so forth and so on? Is that as a result of being led by the comforts, by being able to provide comforts for these children, whether this is the proverbial pacifier or whether that is what the children like, Cocomelon or whatever these particular things are? Are we led by ensuring that we could be able to keep comfort? Is that presumed peace in our house?
I think...
Because the younger had a chair on the TV on.
Yep.
Me and my son had a big conversation about this. I told him, I don't like you watching some YouTube fellas.
Right.
The TV upstairs, if I'm downstairs, we're watching Christmas movies.
Yep.
If I'm downstairs, he upstairs. So I call him. I say, Gabriel, come down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He ran down. Boop, 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 boop. Yes, sir, daddy? He's too excited. Something going on. What you watching?
I can relate.
What you watching? And he's just like a blank stare. My point is that the children know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But we as parents, we seek to be able to keep peace in our house. Because I will hear him while I watch him a movie.
Right.
But I don't know what he's doing.
Eat quiet so I find.
I find.
No.
That's
no,
bananas.
No, you're reneging on your responsibility. Your greatest legacy, it should be what you deposit in your children. And knowing that, I just talked about this in our service at KDC, that you're passing on a healthy baton. I can't imagine a more glorious feeling than to know that when you leave, I'm leaving competent children who are going to further the legacy of my name, further the legacy of this family. And I've done everything in my power to empower them to do it well. But we get it. This is so important, Howard. I mean, I guess this is kind of unusual for how we're taking this even now, but I think it's important. We need to get rid of this laissez-faire posture in terms of our homes and just letting our families and children free fall because we don't want to be disturbed. We get our own, like you said, comfort agenda, and we're not intentionally making that depositing the lives of our children. And it's not the responsibility of the school to do it. It's not the responsibility, not even of the church to do it. You are of first priority in terms of directing and governing the lives of your children.
And that's
the school and the church assists in that process.
But we got to get back to realignment. And you got to let me take this quick commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, the foundation. Quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Nassau Cruiseport presents Phil Stubbs Live at the all-new Nassau Cruiseport Amphitheater.
January 13th.
Gates open at 7 p.m. Showtime 9 p.m.
Book your tickets now at BahamasETickets.com.
General admission $50, $75 VIP.
Prepare to be blown away as we kick things off with one of the Bahamas' beloved artists. You're raking and scraping with Ira Storr, Nishi LS, and Phil Stubbs Live.
Brought to you by the Nassau Cruise Board. It's not just a concert. It's a night to remember.
Make your mornings easy with the new breakfast bowls at Burger King Nassau. These delicious bowls are a complete breakfast in a convenient package for those on the run who want to enjoy the most important meal of the day, the BK way. Each breakfast bowl has all the breakfast fixings you love and comes in three tasty versions to choose from, including the classic, the Southwestern style, and the keto-friendly bowl. BK just made breakfast easier with the new breakfast bowls at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, live and in full effect, January 24th, 2024. We're here. If you are here and you can breathe, take a deep breath in, ladies and gentlemen, slap yourself in the chest. My God, you made it over the threshold of trial and tribulation. If you take an assessment of the year that was 2023, there are many a man, talk to me, there is many a man that didn't make it. My God. I just gone over my thing and I started to write these things every single one of the month. I just got this new journal thing, right? This journal app. Right, so I want to be able to do the three of it. This is nice to journal app, right? So I do the text to speech, right? Yes. The speech to text.
Yes.
So I don't even have to type. So I just do the speech to text, right? And I say, let me download this thing. And so I start to look over the last 12 months. And then we got to September. And I'm still baffled. Or being here with us, that is crazy to me. I mean, you know, there's a great deal of people that have passed away that I've known and other steads, but, you know, to know that he's in this particular capacity, that none of us.
The event I had in November, end of November, that I had invited Canaz? Me to. Yes, Canaz. I had sought to get Glennis Hannah Martin, and because when I called her to come to the Nationalist Forum, she says, I'm going to bring Obi with me. But they got tied up in an event. And so on my notes in my phone, I had their names down to have them come this 2020.
We made plans and we didn't even make it.
Yep, didn't make it. Life is moving that fast.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is really about, and that's why, you know, on the break, we started to talk about this kind of an idea that I am propelled and convicted that this is a conversation that we should have constantly. About realignment, about being able to take this assessment. One of the things that you said that I often say is about introspection, looking deep within yourself to make a determination whether or not the efforts that you give will be able to contribute to a greater society externally. I have come to the point in my life where I'm not concerned about what's happening inside of me. What I mean by that is that that's not me unable to participate. That's just me not willing to be distracted.
Yeah,
I do not want to be distracted by what you're doing.
Yeah.
I just want to do what I'm doing. And I think that if you do what you're supposed to do, and I do what I'm supposed to do, and we commune together, because I was glad when they said unto me.
Let us go.
See what you always get preachy. You see what you get preachy. You do what you do. Yeah. I do what I do, and then we come together because I was glad.
Yes.
When they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord."
Into the house.
Yes, let's talk about this, right? Yes, so I want to talk about this sort of an idea as it relates to realignment. One of the things that we left off on is being able to talk more specifically about parents and parents reneging on their responsibility and being able to, and you know, and I think it's the government's fault. Oh my God, Howard, what you talking about? The government has given us this sort of a mandate that runs as a rhythm and a condition in the minds of our people that says, we're going to do the heavy lifting. We're going to wipe the tears from the eyes. We're going to do these particular things. But I believe that the church, my God, I just get preachy. I believe that the community itself, the heart of the community, should start with the people. And we need to remind ourselves that we all must be able to participate in getting this thing in order. The village never started with the politics.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take a congressional congress to raise a child. It takes a village.
A village. Yeah.
It doesn't take a parliamentary caucus to raise a child. It takes a village.
Mm-hmm.
And we've yielded the strength that we have as a village, the assortment of who we are as a people.
Mm-hmm.
This one might be a fanatic in one area, another, but all these things that blends together to understand the concept and idea of culture and a people,
mm-hmm.
that raises children. Mm-hmm. We've lost that.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that.
Yeah. So the access to constant, watch this, entertainment is a great deception tool that robs time and devalues our morality. So everybody is on devices for all ages, and it's crazy. As hard as it is to find money, everybody can find the money to get the latest cell phones and to make sure they got minutes on it so that they can stay connected to the world through all of the different social media apps. And think about it. When everybody now is exposed to the entire world at the click of a button, and from a foundational standpoint, don't have what it takes to stand morally, to stand relationally and socially, it's a ticking time bomb. And so starting where you started in the show today of us taking a look at the home, at the parents, of the children. This is critical because these, we need foundational. The world wants to move away from absolutes, but I can't do it because of how I'm built spiritually and my worldview philosophically. I believe the narrative of Scripture. I believe you train up a child, and if you train them up correctly, they won't depart from it. They may slip and slide, but they're going to come back to the basis.
All of us slip and slide. How
of course.
Happen?
Of course. Also, I did both hands up. all of us have.
My God.
However, watch this. Because we had the teachings that we had in our homes, which were parameters and walls put around us, every time we fell, we knew that we were outside of the boundaries.
My God.
But what if you have no boundaries?
What if you don't know?
What exactly? Which I think is the situation with many of the homes where fathers have abdicated their responsibilities. Mothers are so busy working or doing whatever they have to do to try to survive. So a lot of things are falling through the cracks. And gatekeepers, I think in many cases, are distracted by what's this materialism. And there's a scripture I've been looking at the scripture a lot over the last several days, and I think it's Matthew 6. No man can serve two masters. You have to because you will hold on to the one and despise the other. You have to make a decision. Another philosopher says that if you try to catch two rabbits at the same time, one hunter, if he tries to go after both at the same time, he's going to lose both. Sometimes you have to make a decision. This is what I believe. This is what I'm going to practice. These are the boundary lines. And boundary lines are not evil. I was talking about the importance of rules and laws. I'm going to get a little deeper for a second. I'm going to come right back to the surface. In Galatians chapter 3, it is said that the law was given as a schoolmaster, or in other words, a guide. But as you continue to read on in that chapter, it says, however, when it brings you to the Spirit of God, rules and laws are not what you live by. Because now, because you have faith, you live through your relationship and understanding that His Holy Spirit is real, is present, and what we call conscience oftentimes is the Holy Spirit speaking to us as a guide as to what we should and should not do. Should we throw away the law then? No, you need laws and rules so you know what it would look like to live a life that's pleasing to God. That's why the church and the government are so important in establishing the kind of nation we want to develop and grow to be. And church and state should not be fighting. They should be complementing each other.
I want to touch this with you.
Go ahead.
You know, I can get deep too.
Well, I was just going to come back to the service, but you go ahead.
No, we can dive deeper than this. There's a whole cave we're in right now. Let's go. Cut on your top lights. Now, you start to talk about this kind of an idea that says the scripture, no man should serve two masters.
Yeah, Matthew 6 and verse 24.
Matthew 6 and 24, right? And I thought about it instantly. Why is she talking about it? And I said, there could possibly be a division in the home.
Right.
If wives and husbands, for those persons that are married, if yes. wives and husbands seem mm-hmm. to be able to have autonomy mm-hmm. and be identified as the power strength.
Yes.
Sometimes there's a power yes. struggle in the house.
Yes.
Watch me. Let's get deep with this.
Yeah, you go deep.
I know. Sometimes there's be a power struggle in the house, right? And that's not necessarily a pronounced thing. People don't say that I am the boss.
It's a cold war.
It's a quiet war.
Yeah.
It's a quiet war, right? And so you would have, let's just say hypothetically, you have your wife that she making good money.
Yeah.
Now you're making good money.
Mm-hmm.
But when you boil down to it, you know, that kind of a bottom line sometimes, based upon the conditioning of our society, mm-hmm. makes a determination of the strength that exists in the house.
Yes, indeed.
My God, let's get deep.
Yes, indeed. It's good.
Okay. Now, as a result of that, it goes contrary, this conditioning, this social conditioning that we've allowed ourselves to be able to, we've rendered our strength to, this idea that, okay, you have more money than me, you wear the pants, so forth and so on, that goes contrary to the two shall become one.
Right. Right.
And the reason why the word of God is so clear
yeah.
that the two shall become one, even the triune God, the Trinity,
yes. yeah.
the three in one, that because no man should serve two masters. This is heavy. This is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And so why is you talking like this? And I got this and this got this very clear understanding that if the house is not divided,
mm-hmm.
that if our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is not divided,
mm-hmm.
then why do we divide the strength of leadership in our country? We divide that. We divide it. And if we don't have unity mm-hmm. at this particular perspective, I'm not talking about the two political organizations.
I get you.
I'm talking about when you transcend and ascend to the pinnacle of leadership in this country, you become the government. There's no need for you to be able to separate yourself from the convictions that exist within the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
within the church.
Mm-hmm.
That you should not articulate something entirely different, because if the government
mm-hmm.
is on the shoulders of God.
My God.
I just get deep, you know. I just try my hardest to pull back.
Go ahead, no, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
Let's come out this game.
None of you preaching good. Go ahead. Go ahead. I want to hit a result.
I want to know from you.
Mm-hmm.
How do we now unify ourselves in thought, words, and deeds as a community? That's one of the things I did. I specifically spelt it the way that I spelt it.
Yes.
C-O-M-M dash unity. All blocks.
Yeah.
Because we've extracted the community. We've mm-hmm. unable to commune with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have any unity.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the sort of a fragmentation that exists in our society right now. How do we fix this? We cannot get to tomorrow. I just watched Noah the other night. Was
yeah.
it Moses? Moses. 400,000 people on the beach. I'm watching this and I'm upset because the director obviously didn't read the Bible. I'm mad at him.
Yeah.
I said, but they crossed on dry land. What you doing? Nobody going. I'm watching this, right? And so as I'm watching this, but I'm watching 400,000 people on the shores.
Right.
And as I see that, and I thought to myself, then people in the back there can't hear what Moses is saying. But everyone moved in unison.
Yeah.
And guess what? We have just become 400 and some thousand people in this country.
Yeah.
It is time for us to move. Talk to me about it.
Okay, so it's ironic that I'm sitting at this table to respond to that question. Because at the same table many years ago, I came on and I literally said at I can't remember who was hosting at the time. I said that we are at a critical point in our nation where we need to firmly decide what is going to be our worldview spiritually and philosophically. And I can imagine people hearing me say that back then, because it must have been like 12, 14 years ago when I came on and said that. And I, because I'm like, okay, the Bahamas is becoming quickly a melting pot. Everybody is descending upon our shores, from the immigrant, whether legal or illegal, foreign investors, Europe, even now we have the Middle East, China, everybody's coming here. And I was saying that as we were going into, I think it was three elections ago, that we need to be very firm and clear on this, not only from the point of view of articulating a vision, because when people here talking about articulating a vision for the country, many are just thinking about from a capitalistic standpoint. But what we believe is very important as well. And it's not far-fetched, because you go to different countries, it's very clear. We are a Muslim nation. We are a Buddhist nation. We are this nation. And it's like we are afraid to clearly and firmly stand upon
it.
We are. And constitutionally.
And it continues to be able to fluctuate from one administration to another based upon some of the ideas that exist in those particular spaces. I know you won't get into it. I can get into it.
Go ahead.
It continues to be able to fluctuate from one space to another.
Yeah.
And our relationships, based upon where the origin of our relationship is, this concept and idea of us being able to potentially get significant finances from this area. Okay, let's be softer on this. Hold on. Maybe let's not articulate it that strong. We're wishy-washy.
This fluidity is dangerous.
We're wishy-washy as a people.
You preaching so good today.
Listen to me.
You can finish the scripture.
Listen to me.
A double-minded man is what?
My God, he's get preachy.
Unstable.
You skip preaching quickly.
In all his ways.
Now, watch
and goes
me.
On to say that man being double-minded, if he thinks he's going to get anything from God, he says, that man is crazy. He's not going to get it. You have to be single-minded in your focus. And I think this fluidity, this, like you said, wishy-washiness in terms of us clearly establishing.
I got to take a pin from President Bush. He's a flip-flopper. Are you flip-floppers?
It destabilizes us, and we need to do something about it, because we, as we cross over this 50th anniversary celebration and moving in deeper into our maturation as a nation, we need to be bold enough to say what we believe, and from the position of our belief, we will transact with the rest of the world.
That's it. Woo. And that shouldn't be hard.
Woo. Is that hard?
That ain't hard. They're afraid.
Yeah.
They're afraid. You know why? Because you don't recognize the strength that's within. And that's one of the things that I said.
Mm-hmm. Now, not only are they afraid.
There is strength within.
I got to add this point here, too. I'm not even just going to put this on our leaders, because the leaders are a reflection of us. Truth is, we as a people, we're lazy.
My God.
And we are not engaged as we should be, even from the political standpoint. We think our jumping up during the election campaign is us being engaged. No. There is greater involvement that is needed. There is the accountability factor. Yeah, we
danced. That's heavy what you say.
We jumped up and we voted. However,
we got to fix this.
We let 5 years go by.
I can write this as one of the
all we do is complain in our private spaces, and we don't demand change.
I can write this as one of the things. I think that when I was growing up in school, I was in everything. I was in JA.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Key Club.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Technical Cadet.
Mm-hmm.
I was a class president.
Mm-hmm.
I was the Christian student movement president.
Yeah.
I was in everything.
Sally,
I was in everything.
Sally, me too.
Listen, I was in everything.
Yeah.
You understand? And if we don't make the children to understand the importance of civic organizations from a foundational standpoint, when they come out of school, they only see what they hear from their parents about civic organization and contribution.
Right. Right.
They've never been a trustee in the organization.
Right.
They've never been the treasurer in the organization. Right. They've never been a part of the board, the assistant treasurer. They've never gone to vote for these things. And that's why we have this sort of a standoffish approach for participation, even in general elections.
And listening now, they think that me and you are zealots. We're overzealous, right? And because sadly, because of that lack of engagement coming up in this new generation, they don't act as though they're stakeholders in their own country.
No.
I got to throw this out there. I am tired of hearing the money young people talk, because I'm in their spaces, and they can't wait to get off so they can leave and not come back. Are you crazy? You're just going to abandon your country?
You know why?
And everybody else is trying to get here?
It goes right back to flip-floppy. If we start to look at this thing, it's deep, you know, it's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you why. Because when W, W, George W,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
When he called Kerry a flip-flopper, the entire world saw him different.
Yeah.
The entire world saw him different.
Mm-hmm.
The exact same thing happened with President Trump. When you stand in your convictions, unafraid of what's happening, people move towards you because you believe in something.
Yeah.
At least this man believes in something.
Yes, yes.
At least this man believes in something.
You understand something very strong there.
When you show yourself wishy-washy, people move away from you because you don't stand for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything.
For anything.
This is too much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be able to chop this thing down. I see the lines are lit up. Y'all don't fight me. I got to take another commercial break. When we get back at the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to have deeper conversation. I'm going to open up the lines at 1 o'clock for you to be able to participate and get into this. I'm here with none other than Ambassador Devin Rowe, being able to get into these things. This is my good, decent friend. I know God. Hey, my God. Go on, touch it today to talk about this. Guys, we're talking about these things and talking about realignment, resolutions, and this preparation to step into the space that we're supposed to be as a nation. Quick commercial break and be right back after this.
You mean
foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's smart talk all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Y'all heard of our ghost pepper wings? Well, they're back for a limited time. At any Popeyes, enjoy our famous ghost pepper wings, marinated in spicy Louisiana seasonings, including a touch of ghost pepper. Each wing is battered and breaded in Southern style, crispy coating, and then fried up. Try six today along with the buttermilk biscuit and a signature side. Stop in before they're gone.
Are they almost gone, babe?
Don't get left out this time.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, the foundation here live and in full effect on this beautiful January 2nd, 2024 Tuesday out here, being able to have great conversation with none other than Ambassador Devin Rowe, being able to talk about these things. We're really talking about realignment. The lines are wide open. If you were part of the conversation at the top of the hour, you know we dive a little bit deep. We can continue to be able to go on that path and course. I want you to be able to participate. 323-622-3235-4316, 254259, anywhere for the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. I think I got a call already. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
My good brother Howard and my good brother Ambassador Devin Rowe.
Hey, what's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, man. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, my brother.
To you.
I am so happy and inspired that you guys have actually crossed over the threshold from 23-24 to help to continue to build a much resilient and prosperous Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
I listened intently to the conversation thus far. And where I would like to pick up on is the aspect of we as a people not being bold enough to demand what is so right for the Bahamian people in this current prosperous Bahamas. I believe that many of us, although we may look at some aspects as regarding some of our people like the proverbial ostrich with their heads in the sand, but some way, somehow, we have to break that cycle. I believe that this is a time for renewal, a time for change. I think this is a time, when I say change, I'm not talking about necessarily the political parties, but the politics that's in play here in this country, whereas we are our own worst enemies. We are destroying ourselves because we refuse to unite, to come together, to fight the things that is so wrong in this country, regardless of political parties, but the wrongs that is being committed about through the policies of these parties. But we refuse to come together as a people to demand a correction in order for us to have a much better, prosperous, healthy, and comfortable life in this country. And I'm praying that 2024, our people will open their, not their just their eyes, but their hearts and their minds to understand that these persons are our servants. We should be demanding that they fulfill and bring forth the things that is so beneficial for the Bahamian people. We refuse to only allow the certain few to receive from the processes that is in play and bring together a much stronger, resilient Bahamas where our culture is being really put to the forefront, representing we as a people, and also to bring forth the prosperity, not just the economic, but the mental prosperity that exists in this country. And I'm deliberately making this voice. This message long because I want it to sink into our people's minds. The only way this Bahamas is going to go forward when the Bahamian people decides to unite forward, upward, onward together as was prescribed and perceived by our founding fathers of this nation. And I'll close on this one point. You know, the country is only as strong as its weakest link. We know where the weak links are. We as a people need to basically pull those weak links out, strengthen them, reinsert them, and get this country to move forward. I do not want the current trajectory that we are on right now to continue in 2024 because it's not benefiting the Bahamian people and it's not benefiting the Bahamas.
Thank you, my brother.
God for you, Bahamas, second. And let us strengthen the Bahamas together. Thank you for allowing me to give my short dissertation in my thoughts for 2024 and beyond.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you so much, Jeff. Let's be able to go to another telephone call, guys. I see the lines are lit up. If you want to be able to be a part of the conversation, please do so. 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259. Anywhere for the family of islands. 242-300-5720. Or hit me up 422-4796. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard. Happy New Year, my brother.
Hey, what's up, DeWitt?
I'm excellent, man. Happy New Year to your guests and the show.
Happy New Year to you as well.
Okay, great. And Happy New Year to you, Jeff. I haven't heard from you for a little while, but I hope you sound like you're good. Great. Howard, I think this year, this is January the 2nd, and I ask you that we are Bahamians. Let's stop depending on the church. Let's stop depending on the government. And if some things, Howard, we in this country who are passionate to help people, we can do ourselves. We can do ourselves. Howard, you sit on last year, you sit on that talk show, and you had numerous of people calling in, assisting with this and assisting with that.
Yes.
Why do we have to all the time depend on governments? We can do these things ourselves.
I agree with you.
And God says if you make the first step, he'd make the rest of the steps. We can't sit down and worry about what the MP ain't doing, what he could do, or he ain't checking for. We live in the police communities. Let us get together and make it a better place. I'm not saying that because I'm a supporter of this government, but I'm speaking in general. We need to stop this thing. Oh, the government need to do this. The government need to do this. Howard, if you know, and the gentleman that could tell you, if people know the description when it comes to as a member of parliament. A member of parliament ain't there to pay your light bill. They ain't there to pay your water bill. They there to try to make the community a little bit better and for you to live in and to make life. Mm-hmm. And some people, Howard, they believe that when members of parliaments are elected, they got to pay their mortgage, they got to pay their light bill, they got to buy food. Come on. It's infrastructure, what I've been told by people in government. But the government has to focus on, first of all, an infrastructure could be lights, potholes, roads, things, dilapidated buildings, things would need to be fixed. And Howard, this new year, I ask you, my brother, as a friend, anytime you're doing anything to reach out to help people, I on board.
I like that, Dwight. I appreciate you.
I ain't worried about no more government and no pastors and this private sector. I on board.
I can take this time. I appreciate it.
You have a good day, buddy. You keep up the good work in this year.
Thank you so very kindly, man. Happy New Year to you and your family. Also to you, Jeff. Happy New Year to all those persons out there. If you want to be able to give me a call, the lines are wide open. So listen, Ambassador, so this is where it is. I think for the most part, there is, to surmise what Jeff was saying about lacking the boldness, this kind of tenacity, this determination, this conviction to stand up and being able to speak truth to power, right? Pushing past this sort of a rhythm, an idea of a conditioning that says, well, you know, you got to go to the government for everything. You got to go to the government and get pushing past that and understanding that we have the strength and also to be able to run it over with what DeWitt indicated, lose your dependency on the external, whether that be the government, whether that be the church, whatever the external dependency you have, know that there is internal strength that we have yet to tap into. Talk to me about it.
I looked up, after hearing DeWitt just now, I looked up the basic functions of governments, and if I may read it, it's real short.
Go ahead.
A government's basic functions are providing leadership, maintaining order, providing public services, providing national security, providing economic security, and providing economic assistance. I think that's a very good summary.
That's it, yeah.
Of what governments are called to do. I appreciate what Jeff was saying in terms of us uniting to demand better. If you listen to Jeff over the years, he has been like a vanguard, hitting the radio stations, doing a lot of work socially, to bring about change in areas where there is either malfeasance or perceived corruption or just things are being done fairly from a national standpoint, which is, and you need people who will call that out. You need watchdogs because we're all functioning as gatekeepers in one way or the other.
Yeah.
And what DeWitt is saying is don't only depend on government. I think the two can now actually be amalgamated. I think where there's injustice or an unfairness, it needs to be called out. The Bible says where light cometh, darkness can no longer abide. We suffer in silence because if you want evil to flourish, let the good men and the righteous people say nothing. At the same time, you don't stand still just waiting for something to drop in your lap. You have to mobilize. You have to, like he highlighted and complimented you, and I do as well, for the effort that you made to get help. People came together collectively. I think it's important for governments to put systems in place that allow for the empowerment, not just for a particular sect of people, but for all people. Now, if you look at society in terms of those who do economically well, these are usually people who transcend the parameters of government. And some people almost will probably even argue that it almost appears as though government works for them. That's the economic elite class. A government comes in there, and the government, why governments are important, because governments, the threshold focus of the government is usually for the masses, those who need assistance, those who need certain doors open. There's an overt dependency from these people oftentimes on government. However, government has a responsibility to making the playing field level.
Yeah.
So we need people with character in government. We need people who have a heart and a mind for people in government. I'm always, another pet peeve of mine is I don't understand how people even put themselves to run for government when they have no track record of helping people. The government machinery is primarily about a huge opportunity to open doors for people. And if you don't have a track record of helping people or doing anything to want to see anybody get better, what are you going to government
be on
for?
The track record, you don't even have no desire. You don't even like people. You need to stop it. You need to leave it alone. Guys, Elijah, wide open. Let me see if I can take a telephone call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, Brother Grant. Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to you, my brother. What's happening?
Dental Roll.
It's Devin. Devin Roll.
It's Devin.
Devin Roll.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Dental Brother.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too, sir.
Same to you, man.
Dude was on to something, and I promised this year, this was one of my New Year resolutions. I promised to speak more truth to power over the radio than more politics.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We, as men, especially, because the women are doing their part. The women are really trying. They're doing their part. We will have all the fun, but after the fun, we want the government to take care of our children.
Nice.
You see what I'm saying? We only want to make them.
Right.
Okay, and then all of a sudden the children become the church problem, the government problem, this problem. Then they end up being the police problem.
Mm-hmm.
We need to pray for that curse. When have you heard in the Bahamas a son could kill his daddy? That ain't Bahamian, man.
No, son.
You know, I have sight problems now, and I can say this because I had a license gun. The minute my son started talking loud, I used to point at the case and say, boy, see that? I ain't scared.
You can't talk like that.
I ain't scared of you, son.
You're wilding out of the people telling
you. No. You got to put fear in these children.
We can hear you, sir. You wilding out.
You think I can stand up? My son will have to kill me sleeping.
You think my son
can stand up and run in my face and kill me? Some that dying Bahamian.
My God.
That's not a Bahamian accent.
I want to add in there. Truth be told, the way you raise your children, there should be such a fear and reverence for you as a father that they wouldn't even give that a second thought to try to come up against a father.
But I know you're a pastor.
Yes, sir.
Let me say this in closing, because how does a want to be pastor? But I know you're a pastor. My mother used to sit in the choir.
Yep.
And conduct us sitting down in the audience.
My dad did the same thing.
My mother looked at you in a certain way, and that's it.
If you
have the luck like that again, then you go home, you might as well prepare yourself.
That's it.
You see what I'm saying? Yep. My mother used to control us with her eyes.
You say your mother sounds she's related to my daddy.
She looked at you in a certain way, you know.
Yes, sir.
Boy, straighten up quick.
Yes, sir.
All the children running up and down in the church. At one time, I believe the people must have thought I was crippled because I ain't moving.
No, sir.
Same. I know it can happen when I get home.
Same
when I protect myself for later.
Same
y'all
here.
Run up and down. I ain't know it can happen by y'all, but I know it can happen by me. I sure.
Same
what
here.
What can happen by me?
You getting cut up and you get home.
Man, you sure that?
You know that
you
for sure.
Order. You done ordered that. For Mark and Rudin Church, you done ordered that.
Yes, sir.
You know, I see children, people care parents. I go to the food store, children them wiling out like Howard would say, wiling out, crying for things.
Yep.
In the food store. My mother tell me put that back, boy. More than happy to put that back.
Right away.
Yeah.
My kids beat you in there. So, the only place my mother never beat us was in church.
So the default is
my mother
where,
beat you any place else.
The default is exactly where we started the show at, with the parenting at home.
I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. Hopefully I didn't cut him. I appreciate your telephone call. I thank you so much for your contribution, and I like these particular things. I want to talk about this. One of the things that he talked about is discipline versus abuse.
Yeah.
I don't think that the communication that we have in our society, the way that we've been taught as men, one of the elements that's crucial is communication.
Mm-hmm.
My father, right? You would think that he's such an old man, but he's really not, right?
Right.
The fella, he must be 19 years older than me. He needs to stop.
Really?
Yeah, they want to do freshness as young people. They need to stop, right? So, mommy 18 years older than me, and daddy's 19.
You get young parents.
Yeah, these people are young, right? They're young people, right? So, the one thing my father used to do, he would talk to me in parables. You would think you were in here with Jesus. He would tell you, you know what I'm saying? Like, he'd tell me a whole story, right? He'd tell me a whole story. He'd say, boy, you know, this fella, he'd tell me a story. This guy stirring the coffee every morning. He make coffee, leave the spoon in the coffee. Every time he drink his spoon, he get a sharp pain in his right eye, right? So I say, what happened? So I followed him in the story, right? He said he went to the doctor. He tell the doctor he's drinking the coffee. Every time he drinks his coffee, he gets a sharp pain in his right eye. Uh-huh. So the doctor had to ask him, well, are you taking the spoon out of the... He said, oh, my God, I take the spoon out. This is how my father talked to me, right? So this is, he would give me parables. After, if this man fixing the transmission, he give me a parable, right? So, but when it came down to discipline, he would cut my behind and not give me information. Mm. I just be very clear about something. Let's be clear about this, right? He can talk to me, but he's not disciplining me. And if you seek to be able to give capital punishment or punishment of the highest order without communication, that's not discipline. That's abuse. All you're doing is just cutting people.
My late father, who passed away last year, in 2002, sorry, was a disciplinary genius. And he never finished primary school. I don't know where he got the wisdom from, but God.
The Holy Spirit.
My daddy would tell us for being rude from morning that he's going to deal with us tonight.
And you had to prep for that all day.
The whole day we are tortured. Right?
I remember me and my cousins cut on cardboard. Say, put this in your pants, we go.
And then daddy used to sit us down, me and my brother sit us down in the chair. And he sat down the next chair and he starts to talk about what we did wrong. And he asks one by one, why you did that? Why you did that?
See that?
And the talk used to be so long. Sometimes you say, you know,
tired.
You know what? I'm going to beat you all tomorrow.
He talked you tired. You said, no, daddy, beat me now.
It was so bad.
I can't take it.
He is his place. We used to prefer him. Just beat us. Don't
talk, daddy. Just beat us.
But your point is very good. Understanding, and I tell parents too, if a child doesn't understand what they did wrong, they should not be punished.
No.
I think that's abuse.
That's abuse
at the highest level. Because
if the child don't know,
that's
abuse. So communication is crucial when it comes to these particular things, guys. The lines are wide open. If you want to be able to chime in the conversation, 323-622-325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere for the family violence, 242-300-5720, or hit me up 422-4796. That's the text. Today, we're just talking about being able to realign ourselves and being able to make some things happen as it relates to being able to move forward in this country. It's important, and being able to find community. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that we push past. And I think that you would see the theme of what I do at the foundation, and you'll see more of it this year. I want to do an award ceremony. I want to be able to do dinners. I want to be able to do some old folk stuff. I want to do stuff because I got my place now. So I want to do a great deal of things to be able to touch people live. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that I'm here for a long time.
Right.
I really don't. I don't believe that I'm here in life. I'm going to be here forever. And my desire is to be able to help with the time that I have. That's it. And people keep saying, Howard, you got children. My God, my children fat. I could just want to be very clear. All my children fat. They plump. They just eat. God is good. Mm-hmm. My wife's slim, but she's slim fat. The same way. Everybody good. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So there's no need for me to be in this kind of position to say that, I'm in such desperate need of this and that and all these things. No, God is blessing me. Mm-hmm. And I want to be a blessing to others. Mm-hmm. And the only way that I can get anything and receive the blessings, the bountiful blessings from God, is when I give.
Yeah.
You may not understand this because you're in test the principle. Mm-hmm. Just test it. Try.
It works.
Just try. I don't know what your belief is. This is a principle of life. Mm-hmm. Just try and give. Mm-hmm. And automatically, it has to come back to you.
Right?
Life can't lie to you like that. It has to come back to you. Once you give with a good spirit, once you give with a very clear understanding, and you're open enough for reception, there is reciprocity in life. Mm-hmm. And we have to be able to find that. I think pessimism has run over us for such a long time.
Yeah.
This kind of all-for-me concept, this selfishness, this sort of an idea of being able to be self-absorbed has stopped a great deal of the blessings, not just to us individually, but to our country.
Yeah. I think Dr. Munro used to say the one equalizer that man definitely has in this earth is that we are all given 24 hours in the same day.
That's it.
And so the question is, and we were here earlier when we talked about resolving to evolve, we have to stop, first of all, being so casual with the 24 hours that's given to us.
Yes, we're very casual with it.
We're very casual.
We render a great deal of that to Netflix.
Yep, indeed.
Talk to me. Let's be very clear about
it. Indeed.
We render that to Netflix, the playgrounds are closed. Fellas ain't even had you playing dominoes no more.
No.
They ain't even, the participation that we had as a community has gone.
Yeah. Dr. Donaldson, Edward Donaldson used to say that we're socially retarded. And he didn't mean it as an insult. He meant that we are not being taught how to socialize with each other, how to communicate with each other, how to grow. Like, it's a foreign concept, like you say, for the children to go outside and just intermingle.
They have
with
no
each
idea
other.
About this. Yeah. But we could create spaces. And one of the things that we wanted to talk to you about, is being able to incentivize them. It's unfortunate, but I think it's important. If we look at the contrast of incentivizing people in comparison to what we're trying to spend to fix it, my God, you might as well incentivize the people, eh?
Nice.
Huh?
Yes.
You know how much money you have to spend to try to fix this?
Mm-hmm.
You might as well divvy up this money accordingly and incentivize persons and watch us eradicate these issues accordingly. Let me take a telephone call. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Guys, give me a call. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Violence, 242-300-5720. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, how you doing, sir?
How you doing?
I'm good.
And your guest.
Good afternoon.
You know, the person who called us a while ago, you know, talking about discipline.
Mm-hmm.
We must discipline in love.
Mm-hmm.
Not out of anger, because like you said, your children don't know what you're beating them for, what you're disciplining them for.
Right.
And you must know your children's temperament, what type of discipline to apply. Some need just a look. Some mean taking away privileges and stuff like that.
I need to cut him. I ain't gonna lie. I can need to cut him because you can take anything from me.
Let me finish. Outright defiance, that's cut him time.
Oh, yeah. That's me.
Let me tell you one time my son and my daughter was, you know, all children have their little squabble, but I say, let me nip this in the bud. And I took a boat of them and I tied them together on the chair. Yeah. And guess what? You know what they did? They turn around and say, I'm sorry, I didn't do that again. And I never had a problem again with that. And then number two, guess what I did? I had them to write out their own rules and regulations. If they broke those, what would happen? When they did, I said, go get your paper. I say, what's on this? Who signed it? We signed it. I said, what should happen? Well, we should get disciplined because we wrote it and we signed it.
I like this, Dad. He's signing contracts in the house. Yeah. You know something else, Dad.
And guess what? There's never was a problem. Let me tell you another thing parents do. Say a child asks, Mommy, I could get some juice. Okay. She gone in the juice, pouring out the juice, and the glass slip out of her hand. Then the mommy or dad, whoever come in here and want, tear the head off. Guess what, Howard? Glass will slip out of the adult's hand.
Yes. Yeah.
You don't beat a child for something like that. You just say, no, be a little more careful and everything like that. Then another thing, Howard, this year, I'm looking forward with my spiritual life because last year, someone from my church, we've been out soul winning. We were able to leave a 75-year, I think it was a 78-year-old man, two men to the Lord.
Wow.
And they're still
powerful.
Faithful and coming out to church. And this year, I'm pushing with God's help. Through His help. I try to maybe once a month. If I miss that, I'll get six. So what I'm saying, I think we now need the more focus on winning. That's the heartbeat of God, is personal evangelism. Mm-hmm. Wherever you go, in the book of Acts said, when they were scattered abroad, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. And that should be our mandate this coming year, is to reach the lost, because only God can change the heart of mankind.
Wow.
And so we need to do more personal soul winning in our churches and as individuals.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you so very kindly for your telephone call, your participation, and being able to do those things. I just pray that the CID wasn't listening to you as you tie your children together in the chair. That's wild, sir. You're doing a lot on here. But I understand the principle of what you say, right?
Oh, yeah.
You'd be able to get them together and do these particular things. And we're talking like this. I think we need to be able to get practical solutions for the era that we're living in. I think that's what it is. I think that's another book. We got to write that down. Practical solution for the time that we're in. I think with the condition of social media and what's happening with commercialism globally, we tend to lose ourselves.
Right.
You ever gone, you said, okay, I got to get this something on my phone. And as soon as you touch your phone, you open up something else and you forget. My God, you forget.
All the time.
You deep down into something that's 20, 30 minutes into this thing, right? You say, well, this is nice. You forget what you're coming here for.
Yep.
And then when you go to bed, then you say, oh my God, I forgot to get the day. See, we're going to have to figure out a way that we can be able to govern our thoughts, our minds, to be able to stay on the course.
A good way to, because honestly, I think the way that the smartphone hit the world market, we weren't prepared for it. We were not prepared for it at all, and the level of access to everything that we have. So we had to be intentional in our homes of having no cell phone spaces or no cell phone zones. For example, bringing back that dinner table where the family gets together, sits, and eats. Don't bring your phones to the table. We are going to have conversation for the entire time of this 30-minute to hour meal. And don't let the meal be 5 minutes either, because, you know, what I do sometimes, no phone to the table, everybody finish eating in 3 minutes. but that defeats the purpose. The idea is to have exchange. Somebody was just telling me, I think it's either France or Italy, when they have lunch breaks, they actually have two-hour lunch breaks, because in that part of the world, they take their meal times very seriously. It's an experience.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the dinner time.
Yeah.
But the engagement is good. You can follow up. When in your family's week do you have a time to find out how's everybody's week going? What are you succeeding in? What are you failing in? What's bothering you? What's challenging you? So, for example, you get some children who have some serious challenges in their relating with people, even their own peers, and they're becoming insular. They're pulling away from everybody.
Introverts.
Yeah.
But you know what?
And we're not even engaging them to find out what's wrong.
But it's actually a space that they're looking forward to. They're looking because of their not understanding how to be able to engage with other persons. No one teaching them this.
Right.
Ain't no schools teaching them this.
Right.
No school teaching them interaction.
Right.
They ain't going to interact with other schools. One time, you remember we used to go from school to school?
A lot.
We used to be fresh.
A lot.
Got to cut your hair, get new shoes, get your suede thing in your bag, clean your shoes.
That was a big
always
day.
Looking fresh.
Big day.
Yeah, because we can meet some new girls. We got to be fresh. I mean, that's just really honest. But we interacted, and as a result of this interaction, my son says to me the other day, he says, Daddy, I want to go to Junkanoo. I said, sir, do you have tickets? He says, no. I said, well, you can't go to Junkanoo if you ain't got no tickets. Let's be very clear about this. You're not in Freeport, Grand Bahama. Now, what I mean by that is that I've never, that this is just Howard. Remember Howard ain't from Nassau. Let's just be clear. Don't fight me. When I go to Junkanoo, I just buy a ticket and sit in Rawson Square. Or on Charlotte Street, on that same stretch right there.
Mm-hmm.
I have never been to Shirley Street, Junkanoo side. Never. I've heard one story as a child with one of my good friends who born in Nassau and went to Shirley Street in his Jordans. He came to Grand Bahama bare feet. I just want to be very clear. And as a result of these stories, you find yourself always being able to premeditate the steps that you take.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We have to create spaces so people could know how to interact with each other.
Yeah.
They have to. This chivalry is dead in our country. We need to be able to revive that and revive these things. There's so much things that we got to talk about. We got to talk about the revival of family.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about the expansion of our population.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about realignment with our faith and understanding. We got to talk very clear talk.
Yep.
If we seek to survive, or if you've yielded yourself to the fact that climate change can swallow us, then, you know, you do your thing. I'm not going to fight you, right? But as long as we're here and we have breath, we have to fight for a better Bahama land. I believe in this.
Whatever happened to the vision project that was supposed to have been financed by the
NDP?
Government?
National Development Program?
No.
What vision program?
Is that what it was?
There was a National 40-Year Development Program, yeah.
That was the one that Nicolette Bethel?
I think Nicolette Bethel was in it, and I also
that's
think
his role now.
That Gowan Bowe.
Was it ever officially released?
They keep doing the most recently, we would have actually been able to see something about it. Oh, Lord, I need the paper in the car. Most recently, we would have been able to see something about it that they wouldn't be. We expect to see something come to the forefront, I think, within this month.
Okay. The reason I highlight that because I think this overarching goal of the country is very necessary. It's something that transcends partisan politics because I attribute a lot of our stagnation to how overtly connected we are to tribal groups. There needs to be something bigger than what separates us. And an overarching vision, because again, I'm going to highlight this thing again, I'm very concerned about the brain drain. We have the, in my opinion, the beautiful, the most beautiful nation in the world, and the people who are born here want to leave.
That's why.
That is a problem. Because I do a lot of stuff for persons who come here internationally, and they are in
this
love
easy
with
to
our,
fix it.
They're in love with our country. They want homes here, and we want to get out because many of us can't afford homes here.
This ain't hard, you know.
Go ahead, man.
This is not a difficult thing for us to fix in this country.
Yeah.
If you have the heart for people, I have the heart for people. The other people are. We need everybody on board. We just need those people who are willing to do the work. And don't worry about it. Don't get one. Well, my God, they're getting all the. Don't worry about it. If your heart says to you, "I want help, but I want reward simultaneously," maybe your heart in the wrong place. You need to fix this. Mm-hmm. But if you give without an expectation of receiving, understanding that your commitment is not for now, that it's for tomorrow, my God, I think we can get someplace in this country.
I was having a conversation with my son the other day, and he was asking me, "Daddy, show you made the right decisions?" Because I had several opportunities to leave this country with offers in different places, and wasn't even a second thought. I love my home.
Yeah.
I love my home, and I want to see it soar. And I want to see the little boys and girls who were born here, especially in impoverished situations, surmount that and come into greatness. And we have the potential to do it. We have so many examples of it. And we need to sit down and talk more of the stories of the persons who actually surmounted their trials and their impoverished backgrounds. It is possible.
It is. It is. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you want to be able to participate. Let me take this quick commercial break and get right back after this.
Champ, baby girl, cable guy is here.
Since the very beginning, you have been with us.
This is called, and this is called the internet.
Okay. Right, so for over two decades, we've been with you every step of the way.
Oh, the Weibo is total class. Look at her go. She's in front.
I follow me. I'm Preston.
So yeah, times may have changed, and so have your needs as our valued customers. But some connections stand the test of time. Red, we're with you.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Y'all heard of our Ghost Pepper Wings? Well, they're back for a limited time. At any Popeyes, enjoy our famous Ghost Pepper Wings, marinated in spicy Louisiana seasonings, including a touch of ghost pepper. Each wing is battered and breaded in Southern-style crispy coating and then fried up. Try six today along with the buttermilk biscuit and a signature side. Stop in before they're gone.
Are they almost gone, babe?
Don't get left out this time.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9. The lines are open if you want to be able to chime in on these last few moments of the conversation. We're here with none other than Ambassador Devin Rowe. I wanted to say one thing before we do that. I often think about this. You know, when we left off, you started to talk about a sort of an idea, you know, of where we are, our geographic location. Now, you know, paint me naive, call me silly, whatever. I'm good with that. Being born in 8 Mile Rock, I was born in 8 Mile Rock, right? I've always known that 8 Mile Rock is the largest community in the country, okay? We're not talking about population, we're talking about size. 8 Mile Rock, right? So I was born in the heart of 8 Mile Rock, which is Hannah Hill, okay? I went to 8 Mile Rock High, I went to Martintown School. I grew in 8 Mile Rock. And from a child, as a little boy, I believe that God called me to do something in my country, in my community. As a little boy, I didn't know nothing but politics. I didn't know nothing but nothing. No one was talking politics around me. It's the same black household that other people come from. The only time we talk about politics is when politics season comes.
Yeah.
This wasn't one of these affluent households where we're talking about these things in preparation for leadership. We're not one of these people. We're talking about politics when politics season comes. But all the entire time, I knew that my contribution should have been to my community and to my country. As a child, I'm 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, believing that I was called to as a little child. Sir. I promise you, as a little child, that never leave me. I said it to say that I believe that our geographical location is not by chance.
Right.
It's by design. That every single one of us have a contribution to make. It may not be a mammoth contribution. If you believe that it's an X, I think it's more than X. I think it's more than a contribution for your political organization. You may be the one who's cooking for your organization.
Right.
You may be the one who providing the ice or whatever the case may be. But your contribution has to go far beyond just being able to participate when that season comes. In season or out of season, we need to participate in growth and development for our communities. And just like DeWitt say, and like the caller said, as we continue to be able to wrap this up, there is no expectation, there is no the necessity doesn't exist for us to always yield our strength to the government.
Right.
We got to do away with that.
Yeah.
We have to recondition our minds to understand that we have the power. And that's all I seek to do here with what I have.
Well, one of the things that has leveled the playing fields in terms of having the ability to achieve globally success is even this internet. The same smart device, it's called smart device, but we use it for dumb things, sadly. But you can start a business on your cell phone and have customers from all around the world. You can do well with your music and produce music, and it goes from around the world with you sitting right in your bedroom. So there are tremendous possibilities if we kind of just lock in our focus and be very self-disciplined in how we focus, that we can produce a lot of wealth and not have to leave home. You can tell I'm on a mission right now to have our young people not leave the country for good, because there's so much potential here in our Bahamas. And we need new and young leaders to come up in the next few years who have this same mindset that I want to make this the greatest little country in the world. I want its people to feel like I can achieve greatness from right here. We have tremendous examples that have gone on before us. And we're in a season of shift. Can you believe Sir Lyndon Pinlan has been dead now for almost 30 years? So the playing field, and a lot of great spiritual leaders have gone on, Dr. Miles and others, a lot of social leaders have gone on in our cultural community. The spaces are open for achievers
wide open
to step into place and let's shape the next 50 years.
Wide open. And you know what's crazy? At the first dispensation, the first generation of leaders in this country didn't step with an expectation of financial endowment.
Right.
They didn't step into these spaces of leadership looking for pay.
No, that was not the driving force.
That wasn't
force.
A driving force.
Yeah. Yeah.
I often speak about how these men came from community.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the reason why the community set them and knew that they can do it is because they had a heart for community. So right now when you see Perry Christie, Hubert Ingram, Brave Davis, in their particular capacity, even Prime Minister Minnis, former Prime Minister, all former Prime Ministers, Lyndon Pinlan, when you see them say, we want to build something, the community at the time lacked tangibility. They only existed in what we used to call the bush.
Right.
Talk to me, let's be very clear.
Fishing village.
We were a sleeping fishing village that climbed into sovereignty, independence, and needed to be able to show our worth. So they poured into tangibility. They built things. Time has dispensed. Time has been displaced. Now you have a second generation who won't do the same thing that the first generation do. My God, if your iPhone, well, let me fix that. Because iPhones do that. Every generation is the same. You on iPhone 13 is doing the same thing that iPhone 6 is doing. But the fact of the matter is that there should have been an evolution, very clear evolution, every single time with every iteration of leadership. And this iteration requires empathy and the intangibles for us to build the spirit of a man, for us to remind young people of their call. And that doesn't take The government. The government could do all these things we talked about earlier, whether it be leadership, whether it be their order, social order, whether it be public security, national security, economic security. The government could do these particular things. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the intangibles of building the spirit of the mind to make them to understand why we commit ourselves to the aquamarine, to the black, and to the gold, we can't do that with an expectation relentlessly sitting on the government, leaning on the government. It's time for us to be able to pick up our arms, bear our arms, and do what we must do in our homes. I want to be able to leave it there like that. Now, I need you to pray. I want you to say a word over the nation. Ladies and gentlemen, over the next few days, we're going to have a couple pastors come in and preachers and whatnot and being able to speak to us like this. So continue to be able to do this. In this year of 2024, the year of our Jubilee, we continue to be able to say these things. Ambassador, I'll let you take the mic.
Yeah, there is... We live in a very blessed nation. We have a rich history. The driving force that brought us to the place, we're about to celebrate majority rule again. And in the last century, that was a great push for our nation and other Caribbean regions to push for majority rule. And that has happened. And now there seems to be a big thrust for equality with regards to our economic distribution, and I think that's a fair goal and desire. I want to remind us, and I usually come on these shows and try to be as relevant as possible, not go too deep into scripture and cause people to be like, okay, this is a church show. I want to say to you, however, your spirituality is very important. The life that we are living now is but for a moment. The next is for an eternity. The song we sang, when we've been there for 10,000 years, it's going to be just like one day. And so I encourage you, if you don't have a relationship this second day of the year with your maker, that you reconsider that and pray about God bringing you into a deeper relationship with him, acknowledging him and seeking to know as much about him as possible so you can live the productive life now and then an even more productive life on the other side. I want to say to those who just want to run away from our country, don't run away. I'm about to pray now, but I want you to lock in and realize that God has placed you here for a reason. I believe we're supposed to make our contribution, not just to this nation, but to the world from where he has established us. Some people will leave by necessity. However, I think our mindset is to be, is to leave a legacy that our children and our children's children will want to follow in as we go from day to day. To the person who's hurting, I want to pray now that God would encourage you and mend your heart. Father God, we thank you today. We thank you for this opportunity that we can come on this station in our country and freely pray and freely acknowledge you as Lord and as Savior of our lives. We thank you for the opportunity here at this station, Guardian Radio. We thank you, God, for the host, Howard. I pray, God, that you'll continue to bless him as you've favored him greatly over last year, 2023. He is educated. He is encouraged. He's uplifted many of the persons in this country. He's helping to generate a new mindset, a sense of I belong and I'm here to be productive. I'm here to contribute to the growth and the development of our nation. God, I thank you for the Bahamas. I thank you, God, for our foundation. I thank you for our Constitution, even how it was set up, that we would acknowledge you in it and acknowledge the principles that bring success in this life and the next. I pray encouragement. I come against the spirit of murder and violence and abuse in our country. I pray, God, that love will pervade, that more people will own the God they say they serve in their representation, would demonstrate love, will demonstrate kindness to others. I pray that this will be one of the best years we have ever experienced as a people. As we've crossed over 50 years, we thank you for 50 years as a nation, and we ask you, God, to guide our steps. We thank you for the leaders that are emerging. We pray, oh God, for leadership, not just who are wise in economics and business and politics, but leaders who have a heart for people, leaders who have who are unashamed about their faith in God, and that we will go into the future as a more prosperous, yet a more loving people. We give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' precious name for the opportunity that we've had here today. And we give you thanks for the nation called the Bahamas. Amen.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the show today. I want to thank you so very kindly for chiming in, participating, being a part of what we're doing. What we're doing here and the foundation, I'm seeking, I just want to shoot straight. I just want to entertain you. That's not my desire. I want to be able to edify. I want to be able to lift us up. I want to be able to, the proverbial scales that are on our eyes as it relates to what we, our participation and our part that we play in our community. Let's see if we can shave that off. Let's see if we can find ourselves back to being able to commune, to break bread together. That's important, to break bread together. And that's just not, that ain't just eating, as being able to commune and finding ourselves in a space that we can be able to share, finding ourselves that we understand some of the issues that that are separating us. How do we unify? How do we get to a place for growth and development for the nation? It's important for us. It's important. I really do believe it's important. I believe that we have a great deal to offer. And once we continue to be able to do that, we can do so with growth, with development, and with love. I want to be able to thank you, my brother. I thank you so very kindly for giving me a chance, man.
It's always a pleasure, Howard. And I want to commend you, man. You're doing a great job. The level of intellectual... No, but I've said this privately, I've said publicly, you handle being cussed the best on radio.
I appreciate that.
You do it so diplomatically.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
You just thank you for your comments and you move on. Keep that spirit.
Yeah.
And you're forcing the mindset.
I don't fight people for their thought, man. You can cuss me. Listen to me. There are people cussing me right now. I can't hear them. So what I'm mad for you when I can hear you?
Indeed.
You can't do that anything else.
Continue to do well, continue to challenge us, and continue to be as diplomatic and loving as you've always been. I want to shout out, if I can, my beautiful wife, Yolanda, my KDC, Kingdom Discipleship Center family, and I got some senior...
Let them know.
I got some senior men from the National Association of the Justices of the Peace listening in. They've been messaging me, and I want to say thank you for tuning in, guys.
Let them know where your church is located so they can be able to come out and check you out.
We're located on Rosetta Street in the Honda Plaza. It's called Kingdom Discipleship Center. Just one door east of Robert's Furniture. We're there on Sundays at 10 and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. and 6:30. You're welcome to come.
Praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first week of the year, we're going to take this time to be able to talk about realignment, this assessment from a spiritual standpoint, financial standpoint, from other standpoints. So we're going to be able to talk about this kind of revival, reset, renew, revive, restore, and to get to where we're supposed to be. I thank you so kindly for participating and chiming in today. 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, on this absolutely gorgeous Tuesday afternoon, second day in January 2024. We see you tomorrow. God spare. Have a beautiful day, guys.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.